Hello, book lovers! Welcome to Two Lit Chicks with Julia Bojo. This is the podcast where I speak with authors about the books and writers that have affected them and dig deep into the highs and lows of writing stories for a living. This podcast is for anybody who loves books and considers them to be one of the main relationships in their lives. Welcome to the Christmas episode of Two Lit Chicks. This is perhaps one of my favorite episodes of the year when we get to look back on the books we loved and think about the things that made this year special. For me, it's the year I published my first book, so I'll always remember it fondly, closely followed by my second book. I sold over 2,000 copies on ebook and print and had close to 200,000 page reads on Amazon. Not too bad for a self-pub debut author. Yay me! I marketed my little heart out this year, and I'm so grateful to everybody out there who's bought, read, and reviewed my books. Now, please help me to double those figures into 2024. As far as books I've read, I have a memory like Swiss cheese, and I haven't made myself one of those pretty notebooks with the covers of all my reads, but the most memorable book I read was The Fourth Wing, because it taught me a lot as a writer about hooking a reader. And after that, I moved on to the Four Horsemen series by Laura Thalassa, and I've also found those incredibly unputdownable and learned from them. The basic premise is that the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse come to the Earth one by one with the goal of destroying mankind until they each meet one woman who can stop them. The thing I found fascinating about these books is that the male characters do really, really horrible things, like killing half of humanity, and yet I was still rooting for the relationships that formed with the women. It's superb escapism, but be warned, there is a lot, and I mean a lot of sex. Of course, I've read other memorable books this year from the podcast, but like I said, memory like Swiss cheese. So these are the books I read most recently. Without further ado, I think our first guest is upon us.
Hello, it's me, Uju Asika.
Oh, welcome to the show. And I'm glad to see that you're back on the show again. You came on in season four as well. For the listeners out there, Uju Asika is a popular blogger, writer, and speaker with a background in journalism and TV screenwriting. This year, she published Raising Boys Who Do Better, A Hopeful Guide for a New Generation. And she was born in Nigeria. Uju grew up in the UK and has worked in London, New York, and Lagos. And she lives in North London with her husband, Abiye, and two teenage sons. So are you ready for Christmas? This is the big question.
I am like mentally ready, actually, like emotionally ready, physically not remotely ready. We don't have a tree up. We don't have any decorations up. I haven't bought any gifts. But other than that, as ready as I can be.
Oh, that's amazing. So we put our tree up as soon as we like possibly can. And my husband's been going crazy buying like things for the mantelpiece and whatnot. Like he's on full on Christmas mode.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what I have, which I launched last year. I have a Princemas tree. So I'm a massive fan of Prince, the musician. And last year I discovered that, you know, you could have a Princemas tree. So I ordered myself a little purple tree and decorated it according to Prince. And so this is what I'm most looking forward to about the season.
I absolutely love that. Well, you know what? It's the time of the season when you got to do what makes you happy, right? And exactly. If having a Christmas tree makes you happy, then, you know.
I just go for it. Yeah. We'll see if my husband lets me do it this year. You see, he was away last Christmas, so that's where I was able to get away with it. I mean, he got back on Christmas Day, and I was like, ta-da, I've got a Christmas tree. So.
A good way to test the marriage. So have you had a good 2023?
It has been actually really, really good, I would say, overall. On a personal level, I think just building up to my book launch and then having the book launch and being able to have a physical book launch, because obviously my first book came out in 2020 and we were all on lockdown. So I think just being able to celebrate physical events has been really exciting for me in 2023.
I think a lot of people are feeling that way. So do you have you thought about what your resolutions for 2024 are going to be yet?
This is a big one because I don't really do resolutions. I tend to do one word not so much a resolution, but like a one-word theme for the year. So for 2023, my theme was gifts. And I'm still thinking for 2024. I'll see if it comes to me before January.
That's really interesting, because like one thing that I do for my characters when I'm writing is I come up with like a power word for them. So it's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. That's what it is. It's kind of like a power word, an anchor word, a word that just sort of reminds me of what's been on my mind. So for me, gifts was kind of about not just using my gifts or buying gifts for myself and others, but it was really, it's really about living more generously. I think that was the theme for the year. So sort of being more generous, thinking in a more generous way.
I love that. That's absolutely, I think that's a really good thing to do. I think we should all probably take a leaf out of your book there. So do you have a best read of 2023?
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult because I do 23 books for 2023. So I've been reading all these books and I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, which is my favorite? I really loved The List by Yomi Adeyeke. But I would have to say that my book of 2023 is On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, because that was just, yeah, spectacular.
So what is that book about?
It's a book about, I think it's almost autofiction. I mean, there's a lot of his life narrative woven into the book, but it's about a boy, sort of a coming of age story, but about Vietnamese American boy and his relationship with his mother, and then his own personal romantic relationships. And it reflects a lot of trauma, like trauma within his household and also trauma from the war in Vietnam. And it's just, he's a poet, and it is just, like, the writing is, like, staggering. I can't even describe it. Yeah, I want to read it again.
It sounds like the kind of book that you really need to work up to.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's very, very intense, but it's not, like, too much, if you get what I'm saying. Like, it is a lot, but at the same time, it just puts you in this trance and you can't stop reading it. So yeah, it wasn't for me like another book that I would say was so intense, A Little Life, which I actually haven't read. I started reading it because we were going to go see the stage show, which we did see this year. And then after seeing the stage show, I just was unable to read the book because I was too traumatized. I was like, I don't think I can do this.
I don't think you're the only person to feel that way. I have seen so many posts on social media of people just being traumatized by that book. And I have it, but I look at it and I go, no, I'm going to read this other book with lots of sex in it instead. And that's what I do.
I tell you what, when I went to see the stage show, we actually went, because I'm with a local book club, and we'd made this plan, you know, we're going to go and see A Little Life on stage. And the production was incredible, you know, brilliant acting, just, I can't believe what they did. But at the end, even though it is so exhaustingly sad, like exhaustingly depressing almost, at the end, I just remember everyone like leaping out of their seats and clapping and looking so, so happy. And I just think that we were just so happy to get out of the theater, get out of this really sort of intensely difficult experience that we'd lived through for hours. I mean, it's a long, long, it's a long play and a long book.
I mean, when we go to theater, I mean, is that what we're looking for when we go to theater? I mean, I'm a musical girl myself. I love a musical.
I love a musical. musical as well. And listen, I'm not selling A Little Life. It was a fantastic production. I do recommend it, but, you know, prepare yourself. I was so relieved to be out of that theater when I watched it. Yeah, I do love a musical there. I think I'm more of a musical person.
So do you have any Nigerian Christmas traditions that you observe with your family every year?
Yeah, not so much. I mean, I think the main thing is to have some jollof rice. Eating jollof rice at Christmas is just feels like, if there's no jollof rice, is it a Nigerian Christmas? I remember when the last Christmas that we spent in Nigeria when the boys were younger, and we had, you know, we normally have a mix of stuff. So we'll have like whatever, turkey and meats. We also have like jollof rice and stews and a whole like massive feast. But like the boys were just so outraged. They were like, "Mom, they're giving us jollof rice. It's Christmas Day. Where's the roast potatoes?" It's like, well, they probably will have roast potatoes as well, but you know, jollof rice is standard.
And yeah. I know from speaking with Nikki May that, you know, everybody has their own recipe for jollof rice.
Oh, yes. We do indeed. I think everybody has their own unique recipe for jollof rice and also how they like it to taste. And then obviously we also have what's called the jollof wars, which is, you know, between the various countries who claim that either they invented jollof or that we make the best jollof. So like Nigeria obviously wins, but there's other countries are involved. But yeah, Nigerian jollof is for the win.
So what goes into your jollof rice?
It's the same, you know, for me, it's just the typical, like tomatoes, onions, seasonings. I don't put anything particularly strange. So I've eaten jollof rice, which has like carrots in it or peas. That's not for me. I just like it plain and simple with a lot of spice like chili.
Yeah, you know what? I think that my best comparison for it is something like spaghetti bolognese, because I don't think that anybody has the same spaghetti bolognese recipe. In fact, I can promise you that every time we actually make spaghetti bolognese, it is 100% different every single time.
Yes, I think that's part of the joy of it, isn't it? It's like you never quite know what it's going to be, so long as it tastes good.
No, exactly. I mean, my dad says the secret ingredient is chicken livers in his stag bowl.
Interesting.
Yeah, whereas my mother-in-law, you know, always puts carrots in hers. And I'm just like, nope.
Well, actually, I've put carrots when I've made, because when I went to Italy and, you know, we were staying at this villa and we did like a little cookery lesson thing. And the chefs there, they all made it with the carrots. So I thought, oh, okay, so I'll put carrots in mine. And I did it a couple of times and my husband was just like, this is not it. So yeah, I don't tend to put carrots in it. I love mushrooms in it though.
Mm. Oh yeah, I love a mushroom. You can put mushrooms in anything and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But I love how Christmas is so much about the food and, you know, what we're eating. And for me, one of my favorite things, it's this really cheap American stuffing called stovetop, but I only allow myself to eat it twice a year. So once at Thanksgiving and once at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So that's always got to be on my table.
Yeah, stuffing is just one of those things that I don't get. Like, it's always, ever since I was a child, I was like, what is this? Why? And yeah.
I don't get British stuffing. Because it's basically just really, those little ball, hard balls.
Yes.
And I'm like, That's not nice.
It's not nice, no. Well, that's what I've grown up with. That's what I think of as stuffing. It's like, this is stuffing. You're like, what is this?
No. Go on Amazon.
And Brussels sprouts. Yeah, it's just not for
me. No, what you need to do is go on Amazon and buy yourself a box of stovetop stuffing and just enjoy the wonder of an American stuffing this Christmas.
I'll take your word for it.
So what's your favorite Christmas movie? Is there one that you watch every year?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. In fact, I've been counting down the days, and like my youngest Jed, he was just looking, he was like, seriously, are we really going to, I was like, how are we going to get through Christmas without watching Elf? It's not possible. We must watch Elf every year. So yeah. That is my favorite.
That's a good one. Yeah, no. They're doing Christmas movies at the BFI on South Bank.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're going to go see my favorite just before Christmas, which is The Bishop's Wife, which not a lot of people know about as a film. But it's Cary Grant and David Niven, so it's an old one. But it's
That's I'm sure I've watched it a long time ago. Yeah, it's not very popular. You don't see it on TV that often.
No, but it is so good, and it always puts a smile on my face. So, but not as much as Elf, obviously. Elf is a classic.
Yeah, Elf is the best. I don't know how many times I've watched that film, and I still laugh.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've had a blast chatting to you, and you know, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast earlier this year, and I wish you the happiest of Christmases, and I hope that all of your resolutions for the new year come through, and that you manage to find your power word for 2024.
Thank you so much. Yes, and I'm wishing you the same. Hope you have a wonderful Christmas and the best stovetop stuffing that you could ever imagine.
Thank you. Oh, well, time to wrap some presents, I guess. Oh, wait, is that the door again?
Hi, it's me, Jules Swain.
Yay! Hello, Jules. Welcome to the show. For the listeners, if you don't know, Jules Swain is a paramedic by day and a book blogger by night. You can find her on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, sharing her thoughts on books that she's read. Jules has also won the UK Book Blogger of the Year, so huge congratulations for that. And now she's here to talk about all things Christmas and books.
So thank you for having me.
So, God, you are on a lot of social media platforms. If you found out on January 1st that you could only move forward with one platform, which one would you choose?
It'd still have to be Twitter. And I'm not going to call it. Yeah, no, I'm not going to call it its new name, because to me, it will always be Twitter.
I'm with you.
But yeah, that's where I've got my biggest following, and where I do actually find that I've still got the biggest engagement. And yes, it's not the same as it was, but yeah, still my favorite platform. Absolutely,
still your favorite. It's funny because I've not been doing Twitter for a bit, even though it's also where I have my biggest platform, even though I wonder if half the people that follow me are even still on Twitter. So, but yeah, no, I might go back to it. Maybe I'll go and return, because maybe the book sphere is still okay.
Yeah, but I've seen your content you're very good at the videos, the TikTok and so TikTok and Instagram probably works better for you, do you think?
Yeah. No, they do work well. They're working better for me. I always used to say that I had this hate relationship with TikTok, but TikTok and I seem to be getting on okay recently. Mm. And I've moved out of TikTok 200 to TikTok thousands now, so I seem to be getting some traction, which is good, but it has taken like a long time to get there.
It does. It's very slow progress on there, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's like you have to build trust with it.
Yeah. You know, yes.
Oh my goodness. So let's move on to a very, very important question. So what was your favorite read of 2023?
Well, I've just been thinking about that today, funnily enough, and we're not quite at the end of 2023 yet. So I always think that a little favourite might sneak in the next few weeks. You never know. But so far, The Bee Sting by Paul Murray, shortlisted for the Booker Prize. And I did want it to win. And obviously it didn't. I haven't read Prophet Song, so I can't make a comparison, but yes, The Bee Sting is absolutely outstanding. Loved
it. So what's it about, and why did you like it?
So it's a family saga, essentially, and we hear from all four members of the family, the mum and dad and the son and daughter. And it's about secrets and mistakes of your past and things that have happened in your past that have led you to where you are now. And I just think that Paul Murray is an exceptional storyteller. And what I think one of the reasons why I fell in love with it so much is because it's very much a book that needs to be savoured. It kind of forced me to slow my reading pace down so that I really got into it and absorbed it. And yeah, it's just, it's fantastic. And I have seen actually quite a few people saying that they listened to it on audio and loved it just as much. So yeah, cannot recommend it enough. It's a chunky one though. It's over 600 pages.
That's okay. I'm used to fantasy. So, there you go then.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So I might try that on audio because I find that if it takes that kind of concentration, that audio works better for me.
Yeah, see, I'm a bit of the opposite. If I want to really focus on something, I like to read it in a physical format. Sometimes I do listen to audiobooks, but sometimes I find that my mind wanders instead of focusing on what I'm listening to. So, but yeah, like I say, I've heard a couple of people really rave about it on audio, so I think it would be a good one.
So you have, I imagine your TBR pile is probably impressive.
Huge.
How do you decide what you're going to read next?
So I get quite a lot of proofs. So I try to read the early proofs at least a month in advance. But I'm very, very much a mood reader. So what I tend to do is pick up a book and read the first page, and if it grabs me instantly, then I'll go with it. And if it doesn't grab me, then I kind of think, right, well, I'm probably not in the right mood for that one just yet, so I'll leave it for another time. And I try not to get too focused on having a rigid order of reading, because I'm a mood reader, because I can change my mind quite a bit about what I want to read. And the only rule I do have about what I'm going to read is that I will never ever take proofs on holiday. Holidays are for my reading of things that I've had on my TBR for ages. In fact, I've got some that I've had for years. So I try and dig those out for holidays and take those with me. So I try to be organised, but don't always work that way.
Because I find it quite stressful. So like with the podcast, it was a long time where I had to sort of read books that weren't of my choosing, which was good because it made me read a lot of things that I wouldn't normally pick up. But also you get to a point where you're just like, God, I just want to read what the hell I want to read.
And it does get like that. And if any of your listeners are following me on social media, they will see that I've been talking about that quite a bit recently. And took a little step back to focus and reevaluate in the last month or so too, because book reviewing can be very pressured. And don't get me wrong, I am so utterly grateful for everything that I get sent and the way that my social media platforms have took off to the point that I am getting such fantastic books through. But it can feel a bit pressured when you always feel like you're reading to a deadline. I totally get that.
And as you said as well, there's some of the pressure is also looking at what other book bloggers are doing and like, why is that person getting that? Why didn't I get
exactly.
that proof?
I won't deny it, and I did say it in one of my social media posts, that there is absolutely an element of being envious of what other people get. And like you say, why didn't I get that, and why did I not get invited to that event? But ultimately what we need to remind ourselves of is that, we got into this and we're doing these podcasts and chats and things like that for the love of reading and not for what we can get out of it, essentially.
No, exactly. It's hard, as I said on your post on Instagram, it's difficult when you take something that you love and you turn it into more than just a hobby. Because I've done it a number of times. I enjoyed photography, then I turned it into my job for 15 years. And it does take a certain shine off of it a little bit. And same thing with, becoming a writer. I now find that I read differently because I'm reading. While I'm reading, I'm also analyzing in a way that I didn't used to. And so it can make it, again, it takes the shine off a little bit. So I'm, I'm trying to get back to that real love of reading right now. So
you've got to do that every now and then, haven't you? Because you don't want to get to a point where you fall out of your love for reading because of that pressure. And to be fair, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself because, you know, I want to support people and I want to support everyone and I want to do this and I want to do that. And, you know, I'm very much one of those people who's very busy because I want to have my finger in all these pies, so to speak. But you do eventually get to a point where you're burning yourself out and all that stuff catches up with you.
No, definitely. But one of the things I love about you is that you read very widely. You know, so there's no snobbery about reading romance, or I know you read some Emily Henry, which turned you into a bit of a romance fan, and then I sent you my book and you're like, yeah, okay,
yeah, I loved it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I will still admit that I've not read a great deal of fantasy. I read Babel earlier this year, which I kind of class as in my own genre that I've invented of mild fantasy. It's not a massive kind of world building book. I don't know if you've read it, but
no, I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah, and I really, really enjoyed it, and it did make me want to read more fantasy. But I think it's not for me, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that certain books aren't for you. I would never, you know, completely rule a genre out. Absolutely not. But but having got into romance did pull me up on that thinking, because I didn't think romance was for me. And I was very lucky to have received a proof of Book Lovers a couple of years ago, which is what got me into reading romance. Emily Henry is absolutely now one of my favourite authors. I pre-order all of her books. I can't wait for a new one to come out. I absolutely adored Happy Place. And then you sent me yours, Shooters, obviously, and we've got Chasing the Light coming up next, haven't we?
And then we've got another one, Camera Shy. I've got three books come out in 12 months, so gosh, I'm on fire.
And what I really liked about yours was, and I put it in the review, is because really, really don't like it when people shy away from sex scenes, the naughty scenes. I'm kind of like, if you're gonna do a sex scene, do it properly. You know, tell us everything that's going on. And I don't like it if it's a little bit prudish. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. Say it as it is.
Exactly. And I know that ultimately that's not for everyone, but we've all got different tastes. But I loved that.
I can recommend you some more as well. I'll do it off air.
Perfect.
So you're not tempted to pick up The Fourth Wing then?
I haven't been tempted by that one at all. No, I saw someone tweeting about it a couple of weeks ago saying, am I the only person who's not read Fourth Wing? And I'm like, no, that would be me as well. I've not been tempted by that. I know she's got the new one out, hasn't she? Is it Iron Flame?
No,
I've not been tempted by that one. I know that people will probably say I should, but sometimes you just kind of think as well that I have got so much to read that I really, you know, you can't just read everything, can you?
Follow your bliss, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So I read it just before Iron Flame came out, and I couldn't put it down. And I mean, I've loved fantasy my whole life, and I've loved romance, so romanticism is right up my street.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, again, like I said, you know, when I read, I'm doing a lot of analyzing. And I'd say it's probably one of my top books of the year because I love what it taught me.
Yeah.
I really love what it taught me. And I mean, I think that it's interesting to see a book that hooks people so quickly. Mm-hmm. My husband's actually reading it now. He keeps saying to me, he's like, oh, I'm at this scene, I'm at that scene. And I'm like, yeah. I should film his reactions, you know. But yeah, no, he's enjoying it as well. But it's interesting to read a book like that and then understand why you can't put it down.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I've really been thinking about that a lot. And funnily enough, I picked up Iron Flame. I couldn't get through it. It just didn't have that same magic.
Yeah, I've seen a few mixed reviews of Iron Flame. Mm. And I think that's the thing sometimes, isn't it, with a kind of follow-up book that, you know, there'll be quite so much hype about the first one that when the second one comes along, it's not always as good, is it? Do you know?
It's hard.
I don't know. It's that pressure, isn't it, I guess?
It's the same question. Like, I wonder if, like, Bonnie Gormis is ever going to write another book.
Yeah, she's done amazing, hasn't she, with Lessons in Chemistry. What a book. I absolutely loved it.
Well, if you're going to do one, you know, that's the one to do, you know.
Yeah, so, and then the series as well. I love that as well. It made me cry. So,
We're halfway through. We haven't finished watching it.
Yeah, no spoilers from me, I promise.
Oh, it's very good. It's very good.
Yeah.
Well, I assume it follows the lines of the book, but
yeah, I think there's a few differences that people have mentioned on social media, but certainly didn't ruin it.
Yeah.
Not for me anyway.
So, New Year's resolutions. What are your plans for the new year?
Oh gosh, that's a good one. I've not even thought. I think the only thing that I always think every year is that I will just focus more on me. And you know, when people say the no is a complete sentence, I think I need to take that on board, really. You know, with the I do sometimes pull myself up on, you know, agreeing to do everything. Yeah, I'll go to this, I'll do that, I'll do this, and then eventually reach burnout, because obviously my job is quite stressful and can be pretty exhausting, and sometimes I don't always give myself enough rest in between, you know, because I'm running marathons or ultra marathons or I'm doing this, or I've one day off and having a trip down to London and, you know, stuff like that. So I think that's going to have to be a New Year's resolution, that I just probably take a bit more time for me, a bit more time to relax.
The year of you. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna say Julia coined that phrase, the year of you. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I agree. It's important to do that because, yeah, life can get overwhelming. And also, I mean, you've got a big job. This must be a crazy time of year for you as a paramedic.
Yeah, definitely. So it's obviously, I can't guarantee that I'll have Christmas off. So I usually take a bit of time out in December. So I am going to Northumberland next week for a few days for a bit of a break. It very much depends on what the weather's like. So when we have a spell like we've just had with the cold and the snow and stuff like that, that can have a big impact. So if we have a milder winter, then that takes a bit of pressure off. But well, I'm already starting to feel it, to be honest, in terms of work and how much busier it's getting. So,
Is there any holiday advice you have for people to keep themselves safe?
One of the things I would say is when we have these cold spells like we've just had, not to venture out unless you have to. You know, in past years I've been to elderly people who I get that things are important to people, but you know, I've had been for an elderly person who insisted on going to church on Sunday morning despite ice, and I know, like I say, that's important to people, but that elderly person then slipped and broke the hip, which in an elderly person is not a great thing to happen. And you know, people taking the bins out and sliding and breaking ankles, and you know, there is a little bit of things that can be avoided, shall we say. Just looking at what the weather's like, and if your journey's not important, then stay at home, snuggled under a blanket with a hot chocolate and a book.
That sounds like a perfect Christmas to me.
Absolutely.
And finally, what's your top Christmas movie?
Oh, The Holiday. Yeah, I am saving that. It's on Netflix now, and I am saving it for the weekend. The Saturday is the start of my annual leave. So Saturday night, I'm going to be snuggled up, like I've just said, under a blanket with The Holiday and maybe not hot chocolate, maybe wine. But
yeah, I think definitely wine. Mulled wine, of course,
Yeah, I absolutely love The Holiday, and I've seen some people absolutely slating it on social media recently, but it's still my favourite.
You know what? It's like that Christmas movie I love to hate, kind of like Love Actually. You know, it's like Love Actually, I think, is more problematic. Yeah, every year that goes by, I'm like, oh God, that needs to be remade. But The Holiday, it's still quite, it's fun. Sometimes I think, oh my God, who wrote the script? But, you know, I love it.
That's what holidays are about. You know, when we see people saying they just sit in and watch the Hallmark type Christmas movies. Yeah. You know, that's what a Christmas movie is all about, isn't it? A bit of cheese and stuff like that. So, but I think the things like The Holiday, you know, like when Kate Winslet's doing a bit of a runner off to America. Yeah. And, you know, that's the kind of thing I like, me, you know, when people think, do you know what? I've had enough. I'm packing a bag and I'm going. Yeah. And I love that kind of thing. So, 100%. Yeah, that's probably what appeals to me. Yeah,
the fantasy
definitely.
Of a changed life.
Yes, absolutely.
Sounds good to me. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic Christmas and that the weather does stay nice and that you get through a lot of your TBR pile.
I'm sure I will. Thank you very much. And the same to you.
Okay, I think I need a cup of tea after that. So I'm just going to... Oh, wait a second. The door's ringing again.
Hello. Hi, it's me, Susie K. Quinn.
Hello, Susie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Julia. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Just for the listeners, let me introduce her. Susie K. Quinn writes edgy romantic comedy, including the Bad Mothers series, and has sold over 1 million books worldwide. She has been both traditional and self-published, and she is a bestseller in the UK, US, and Germany. And I love this fact. Susie is a twin, and her sister, Kate Quinn, is also a best-selling author.
Yeah.
I can just imagine the two of you chatting. Does she write in the same genre as you, or
she writes sort of psychological thrillers, so there's some overlap because I have written psychological thrillers before, but we do read each other's books and we do feedback on each other's books and all that kind of thing.
That is so incredibly useful.
It is. It really is. I think we've said before, you know, oh, I wish there was someone else just like me who could go to that event while I go to this event. And, oh, there is. Okay, you go to that book event and I'll go to this book event. And, yeah, it's very handy, especially this time of year when there's lots of sort of crossover of literary stuff going on.
Yeah, no, perfect. Have you guys ever switched places and pretended to be the other sister?
We haven't, but that's a question that every twin is asked. Along with, have you ever liked each other's boyfriends? Have you ever switched boyfriends? Can your parents tell you apart? That kind of thing. No, we haven't. Sorry, we're really boring twins. We don't have any fun stories.
Not like the Wakefield sisters from Sweet Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
So has 2023 been kind to you? Has it been a good year?
Oh, it's been a wonderful year. Yeah, it's been a really wonderful year. I think now we're all sort of coming out of the whole C-word COVID thing. Mm. I feel like this year is the first year everything's sort of, you can hug people again. And I know you could hug people before, but it feels sort of like it's actually normalised now, you know, and all that kind of thing. Yeah, lots and lots of exciting stuff going on this year. I've kind of come out of my writer's bubble a bit. I'm doing a few other exciting, challenging things. Not least, I was just telling Jeremy, she's setting up a ghostwriting agency.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, that's great fun. So Kevin Anderson and Associates, they're a ghostwriting team in the US, big company. There's sort of 19 editors on staff, and I'm setting up their London office, and I just kind of fancy the challenge, and here I am doing it, and it's really fun. Almost 90% of the time it's really fun, and 10% of the time I think, okay, that's gone wrong. The other 90% of the time it's great. There's such a nice team. They're wonderful. And it's a nice thing that they're offering. So I'm liking working with them.
Yeah, no, interesting. So have you ever ghostwritten yourself?
Yeah, I used to run about 10 years ago before my books took off. I used to run my own ghostwriting agency. So that's sort of where I started. And one of my ghostwritten projects I sent to my now agent and he said, yeah, I don't like this. I hate this. However, I see you're a writer. So have you got anything else? And of course, you'll know, Julia, you know, yes, of course, I have drawfuls of manuscripts. Which one would you like? So I sent one and he sent it to Hachette and they got a nice advance and we publishing started from there. But I always kind of kept the agency kind of going a little bit in the background just in case it all went horribly wrong and the books sort of didn't do well, but they did do well, so that was fine. But I kind of, you got, ghostwriting's really fun. You get so many really fascinating, interesting projects. So, you know, someone will phone you and say, oh, I've just been in a Malaysian prison for 5 years, or I was Mick Jagger's nanny, or I was, you know, something like that. And it's a really, really fun kind of industry to work in. And then, you know, you work with big name people, celebrities, that's kind of interesting. They usually have interesting life stories. So, so I'm not doing the writing. I'm kind of setting them up and making them do well. But but it's good fun.
No, it's interesting. So I interviewed a ghostwriter this season as well, Tom Bromley, and he had a lot to say about it.
That's right. That's really interesting because he's one of our writers who we'll be working with.
Fantastic!
Yeah, lovely guy. Yeah,
he seems to know what he's talking about. So,
oh, good. That's reassuring.
So what are your resolutions for 2024? Have you even thought about them yet?
Yes, I absolutely have. I have lists and pages of goals everywhere, everywhere I sit. So resolutions are, so Kevin Anderson Associates, so that's the ghostwriting company. I'm going to make that super brilliant and shiny and wonderful and exciting. I've got a couple of my own books that I've written this year kind of ticking along in the background. So one's called Love All Your Money Back, and it's about a woman who decides to get a marketing expert to help her find a husband. So that's all finished and done. So I won't be doing much with that except for just kind of praying, as I do for all my books. There's also one of my books potentially going into like TV rights and things. So I will be praying for that a lot as well. I know that's kind of like, people, my resolutions are basically just goals. I mean, that's just what they are. You know,
I'm the same.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. What,
there's nothing else worthwhile except for the pursuit of ambitious goals. And that's obviously not true, but yeah.
No, but it's true. I mean, I find that when I have a goal and I know what I'm striving for, it makes it so much easier to work towards it.
So what are your goals do you have any resolutions yet for 2024?
Well, I feel, obviously I've got my career-based ones, you know, writing more books, whatnot. But personally, you know, I'd want to get back in shape. So I was in shape, and then my foot, I got plantar fasciitis on my foot and had to roll back a lot of my exercise and, you know, gained loads of weight because of that. And I don't feel like myself right now. So
yeah,
I need to find a goal that I can work towards next year that will help me feel more like myself.
Oh, that's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I really feel that one, the kind of not being able to, you know. And by the way, can I just say, I run a podcast, but to anyone listening, you do look absolutely great. I saw you in person 3 weeks ago, was it? You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so it's all in your head, Julia. And you look great. I should also say, on the subject of your books, Camera Shy. So it's an exciting read.
Yes, thank you very much for your quote.
Good stuff.
It's going to be going right on the cover there.
Oh, lovely, of course, where it should be. I can definitely recommend that one. I think it's fantastic book. I just love as well, and Shooters as well. I'm just sort of looking at the cover of Shooters, actually. I need to read that one. It's so fun and sparky. It's what the world needs right now. It's a bit of a fun injection, funny, you know, uplifting, you know.
Love you. You're hired.
I mean it. I absolutely mean it. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. So are you the kind of person who likes to read Christmas novels at Christmas, or do you not do that?
This is a good question. So the honest answer is I watch Christmas TV on Netflix. That's the honest answer, because when you've been writing all day, so I haven't written anything actually for months because I'm setting up the ghostwriting agency, but generally speaking, when you're writing all day and you'll kind of know where this is, at the end of the day, reading a book is not as relaxing as, you know, because you're sort of backseat reading as well. You're kind of, oh, have they done this and have they done that? And, you know, yeah, I don't really read. I generally will read all the bestsellers, again, in a backseat reading kind of way.
Yeah. I like that term, backseat reading. That makes sense. Good phrase.
Accurate. Yeah, exactly. I would say probably of the, you know, one in five, I'll really, really enjoy and love reading it. And the other four, I'll like, you know, I'll kind of, but it serves an interesting purpose. I kind of, except for Scrooge, I would read Christmas Carol every so often around Christmas, actually. I love it. Nice and short.
Yeah.
It's a nice short book.
Yeah. So have you read any books this year that have really stood out for you?
Aside
from mine, obviously.
Aside from you, of course. Well, obviously your book has really stood out for me. Of course it has. Fantastic book. Camera Shy, I should just mention. I've listened to, actually on Audible, my words are slipping today, Britney Spears' autobiography.
Oh yeah, I've heard it's good.
I mean, I'm basically reading anything that's ghostwritten at the moment, just because it's kind of a shared client base. So so Britney Spears' autobiography, Prince Harry, it was really amazing. It was like, it's sort of crazy. You could, kind of couldn't make that up, really, the kind of what happened. That was I wouldn't say enjoyable might be a strong word because it's really dark, but it was certainly like, oh wow, Brittany, I didn't know you'd been through so much.
I listened to Matt Perry's autobiography after he passed.
That was an
exercise in torture. It really was, because just the whole time you're just listening to it going, you know, it just felt like it was always going to end that way. But it was interesting to read, but a interesting portrait of an addict as well.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Very well written. Very well written. But so you say you like to watch loads of Christmas movies. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, just kind of rubbish ones on Netflix. You know,
you watch Family Switch yet?
We're 20 minutes into that one, and we got distracted by kids not behaving themselves and having to go to bed early. But we're 20 minutes into that one. There was another one on Netflix. It was a best friend who's jealous of her. Well, a friend who's jealous of her friend, and that was fun. Just, you know, the low budget. You know, that kind of Hallmark. You know, that kind of thing.
Low concept. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Love Actually, obviously, is not a low budget film, but a classic. It's a good, you know, Christmas watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything sort of feel good around Christmas time, is a good thing. I think there needs to be more feel good in the world at the moment. I think we've had, you know, like for ages. I guess they still are. Like, psychological thrillers are really, really, really popular. And, you know, I've written psychological thrillers, but actually when I was writing them, and they were kind of fun to write, but as I was writing them, I was sort of thinking, why do people read these? Because it's you know, the covers are all dark and it's all kind of sinister. And I always did wonder, whereas with kind of comedy and uplifting stuff and fun stuff, it makes sense because it makes you feel better. You know, and so I think there is apparently a big upswing in romantic comedy, feel good books, uplit, which makes sense to me because we've all come out of, you know, excuse me, a fairly dark time, and everyone wants to feel better.
Yeah, well, still lots of dark times going on. It's a difficult
time
for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
But I completely agree. And anything that increases the sales of romance books, I am all for.
All for, yeah, exactly.
So, Susan, you have actually prepared a Christmas quiz for us as well, haven't you?
I certainly have, yeah. Book themed, somewhat romance themed, much as I could. I tried to overlap, yeah. It's quite hard to get 10 questions that are book and romance and Christmas theme, but let's see where we get to.
But you've done it. Okay, cool. Let's get going. So you ask the question, then I will try to think of the answer. And then you'll tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Ah, I understand. Okay, right. So this makes sense to me now because I emailed you all the questions with the answers. I see. Right. Okay, sure. Fine. So this is why you were very good at not looking at them. Well done.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see how well you do in the quiz, of course. If you get 10 out of 10, you know. So name a Sophie Kinsella book with the word Christmas in the title.
Oh, is it Shopaholic Christmas?
Ah, oh, very good. So Christmas Shopaholic.
Christmas Shopaholic, yeah.
We'll give you that one. I mean, to be honest, you might be right. You might have put it the right way around. What was the name of Ebenezer Scrooge's lost love?
Oh no. I can't remember. Eliza.
Eliza, that's a really good guess. I mean, so the answer is actually Belle. But that doesn't resonate with me. Eliza resonates much more, so I hope I haven't got the answer wrong. But anyway, someone will correct us, I'm sure. Where does Harry Potter spend Christmas?
Oh, well, which one? Sometimes at the Dursleys. Oh, no, he spelled... no, wait a second. At the Weasleys.
Well, I've got Hogwarts, but actually, it's a good point. There's a few different versions, aren't there? I was thinking the first book.
And the first book, yeah. The first one, he's at Hogwarts. And
correct.
After that.
Well done.
And I know this because my son is just discovering Harry Potter now. In fact, he had a Harry Potter-induced meltdown this morning, so...
Oh, listen, what did you do to him? You horrible, what did you refuse to give him?
I made him go to school instead of finishing watching the Chamber of Secrets. I mean, how dare I?
Yeah, that's terrible parenting.
How dare I?
Yeah. So in the original version of the snowman, where does the snowman fly the little boy to? He probably does have a name somewhere or other, doesn't he? But
I don't think he does, no. Where does he fly to? Let's say... Oh, they fly all over the world, don't they?
So they fly to, in the original book, which is 1970s, they actually fly over Brighton Pier. And they don't go to see... Yeah, they don't go to see Santa. Brighton Pier was enough in the 70s. That was... Wow.
Brighton Pier.
Yeah, just imagine. Imagine flying over Brighton Pier. But obviously, now we demand a little more Santa and Christmas present. What gifts do the March girls from Little Women get for Christmas?
Oh my God.
This is a tricky one, by the way, I should say.
Oh, it is.
And I've read Little Women, but I couldn't remember.
No. It's one of those things, like I can see the scene in my head where everyone's opening things, but I'm going to go with like maybe some like pens for Joe, maybe?
No, that's a good guess. So they all get books.
Books, yeah.
And the books are the same book. It's The Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay. See, I was going to say books, but no, okay.
It's a good guess. But clearly you haven't filled your mind with nonsense trivia. You keep your mind fresh and interesting moving forward. This is how I feel because I'm rubbish at quizzes. So in how many of Jane Austen's novels does she mention Christmas? And this, you'll just have to guess this one, unless you're feeling very, very academic.
Let's say 4.
Oh, it's a good guess. So it's 6.
All of them? Okay, never mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky one, that one. I mean, you have to be a real fan.
I do have a friend who just reads like Jane Austen over and over again.
Wow. It's just wow. I mean, I can read Pride and Prejudice over and over again, but the rest of them, I don't know. Have you read all of them?
At some point I have, yeah.
No, well done. I think I've watched the televised versions of, all, and read 2. I think I read Emma as well. Anyway, who sold more books in December 2022, Richard Osborne or Colleen Hoover?
I'm going to go with Colleen Hoover.
Yes, excellent guess. Romance,
yes,
obviously.
Go Colleen.
Superior. Go Colleen. What is the name of the heroine in The Snow Queen?
Elsa was in Frozen, but it's not like Freya or.
It does end with an A. It does end with an A.
It's an A.
Begins with a G.
Eliza. G. So Greta.
Ah, so near. It's Gerda.
Gerda. Couldn't even get it with all the hints.
Well, I think you've done a good job. These are not easy questions. Well done, Julia. You're doing well.
Thank you.
Which Christmas cookery book sold more? I've got 2 choices: Cooking with the Grinch or Jamie Oliver's Christmas Cookbook.
Oh, I'm going to go with Jamie Oliver.
Aha, well, it's actually Cooking with the Grinch, believe it or not. And there's an interesting... Yeah, I know, I was really shocked by that. But actually, it's an interesting thing for any writers listening. International audience, people, think of the international audience. Really, really, really important. If your book is international, you sell 10 times as much. And I think the... I mean, whenever I talk to authors at parties and things, all the authors that are doing okay, you know, what I mean by that is doing really well financially, are they've all got like big hits in the States, and they're just sort of quietly, yeah, my book sell abroad. So yeah, it's a good thing to think about. How many Agatha Christie Agatha Christie book titles feature the word Christmas? And again, you just have to guess on this one because, you know, unless you have a very encyclopedic brain.
Oof, let's go with four again.
Oh, well, it's two. So it's Hercule Poirot's Christmas. Yeah. And then the other one is technically say three. So there's Hercule Poirot's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then there's The Adventure of the Christmas Pudding. Mm-hmm. But you could also count, and I will, Ruth Ware. I don't know if you met her, but she's fantastic. She's such a lovely, lovely person. Mm-hmm. Ruth Ware has been one of the authors, along with Eddie Griffith, to rewrite Agatha Christie's Miss Marple series. So they've got some new sort of versions of Miss Marple. And she wrote a book called Miss Marple's Christmas, which I haven't yet read, but that would be an excellent Christmas read, wouldn't it? I would love to sit down and read that at Christmas time. Yeah, and Ruth is just lovely, and she's such a wonderful writer. She wrote It Girl as well. And that was a lovely thing to be asked to do, I think, for those guys. Well-deserved.
Yes, no, definitely. So I got 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10, but it's a very hard quiz.
It was a hard quiz. But yeah, no, thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, no, you're very welcome. Maybe I should have gone a few more kind of, you know, easier, you know.
You know what? We always say it's easy if you know the answers. So there's some people who will go, oh yeah, I know all those.
Yeah, but, I think I would have averaged about the same, by the way. This kind of style of questions, yeah, for sure. I mean, I had Google at my hands to be able to, you know, look at the answers. So these definitely weren't, you know, I only knew about half of them. So
But I absolutely love that. Thank you so much. And you've got a Christmas book. You've done a Bad Mother's Christmas as well. Is that your only Christmas book?
I have actually. Yeah, Bad Mother's Christmas. It confuses a lot of people because it starts in the middle of summer, and I think that irritates people. But it's just one of those because the end is a series, so the last book ended in summer, so I couldn't just skip and just move forward. But it is very Christmas themed. It's a wonderful book to read at this time of year. It's very funny, nice, uplifting, happy ending. But it does start in summer. Don't be puffed.
It's on my list. So I will definitely read that this Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Julia.
No worries. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic Christmas and that you manage to start, you hit the ground running in 2024 with those goals.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing lots of you next year, Julia, everywhere, both sort of metaphorically on, you know, book charts and then in person as well at book events and things. It sounds lovely.
Oh, well, what a bunch of lovely guests. I think it's time for me to go and have a mince pie and just... Oh, there goes the doorbell again. Who could it be?
Hi, Julia. It's me, producer Jeremy, just coming to say hi. I hope I haven't missed all the guests.
Yeah, me too. You did hit record, right?
No. Well, that takes us back nicely to a bit of an incident we had in the middle part of the year.
What, you mean when I interviewed the Duchess of York twice?
Oh, it was such a good interview. We did it twice, like New York, you know.
Exactly.
It was so good they made it twice.
Exactly. And if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the episode. Oh, anyway, has it been a good year for you, Jeremy?
It's been a marvellous year. I always think that, you know, if you're still here at the end of the year, then it's been a great year. But it's been a great year, full of achievements and lots of adventure, plenty of ups and downs. It's what makes life fun, isn't it, really? But I mean, in comparison to your year, though, Julia, then no, I haven't had a great year. You have.
Well, I published 2 books, that kept me pretty busy.
In total now, we've now produced over 100 episodes of Two Lit Chicks podcast as well.
Wow.
And something I can't get over is that we were chatting yesterday before we were recording this, and and we were talking about which guests you've had on this year, and you said some guests of Damien Barr and Millie Johnson. I was like, no, that was last year. And then I realized, no, God, that was the start of this year. It just shows you how much you've done in just 12 months. And there's still time to, plenty of time left of this month before Christmas and the new year is out and the new year is here to achieve more. So, you are...
I don't know. I'm done with achieving for this year, Jeremy.
Put your feet up. That's my advice. Stop making others feel so bad. And put your feet up.
So what was your favorite podcast moment from this year?
Wow. We've had loads. I thought it was really cool that you had Robert Kamen on. And because he was a real character.
Yes, he was.
There's a few bits that we couldn't broadcast. But he was fabulous. I thought he was a real character and really sort of gave a funny take on Taken and The Transporter and various bits. Obviously, I'm going to say, I know it was a disaster that we had, but it just shows you that we're made of tough stuff to come through that. The Duchess of York and Marguerite Kay. Because I think if I can give a little bit of an explanation to the listeners of this, I sort of had this email come through and I realized we had Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York, coming on Two Lit Chicks. And I thought, wow, is this the pinnacle of the podcast? I mean, there's even more to come now, surely. And you think royalty on the podcast. So I was already nervous and I felt like I was being vetted anyway. And of course, when you're dealing with royalty, you've got to deal with so many people. You have to go through sort of through flaming hoops. And I was very nervous. Did I get the wording right when I was emailing the Duchess? And was it okay? And then actually on the day of the first recording, the Duchess was so relaxed and it was wonderful. And I was sat there and it was the most incredible recording to listen to, because I thought, actually, she's really enjoying herself. And the rapport that she had with you and the rapport you had with Marguerite as well, it's a wonderful episode, listeners. Go and listen to it. But you won't be listening actually to the interview that we recorded on the first time. You'll be listening to the second time, because we did have a little bit of a disaster. The audio got corrupted. I then had to sweatily dial Julia's number and say, I'm very sorry, we've got a bit of a disaster here. And I remember your words, please tell me you're joking. And I think I said, I don't think now's the time for humour. But thank you to the Duchess for making the time to come back on again and for saving my career as a podcast producer.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Yeah, it was good. What doesn't kill us only makes us stronger. And you didn't kill me. Yes. So thank you, Julia. You've made me stronger. What was your highlight, though? What would you say your podcasting highlight was of 2023?
There's been so many. There have been so many interviews that I've really loved doing, and I've loved all the quizzes. I hope people have enjoyed those as well. But you know what? Going back to that first episode with Damien Barr, where I feel like I said something that really made a difference to him, with some of the questions that I asked him, and really made him think about something that he had never thought about before. And I guess for me, I'm not a professional journalist. I'm just doing this for fun, really. But to make an impact on one of the guests, on their lives, that I think was a very special moment for me. And I don't think I'll ever forget it. And I don't think he will either. So,
No. I think this is the joy of having a podcast, is you get to meet all kinds of incredible people, and then you can tell someone that you're a fan of theirs, or you can tell someone how much of an inspiration they are. But it's best to sometimes show them. And I think what you did with Damien, you did. I remember him sort of going, oh my God, that's like the best question I've ever been asked. I'm keeping that. And I think that's something to be incredibly proud of, because I think you say you're not a journalist, Julia, but you are having a go at podcasting. So you're a broadcaster. So don't just say, oh, I'm just this or just that, because you're not. You are a podcasting success. There are a lot of people that would love to be in the position that you are, and with those downloads, or even just to have a podcast. I can tell you this now. There's so many people that say, oh yeah, 2024 is my year. I'm going to have a podcast. I had the same conversation with them in 2022 when they said 2023 was going to be their year when they had a podcast. And so on. But what you get by having a podcast is, by having guests on here, it's a very wonderful casual chat. You're showing a genuine interest in people. Whereas a lot of these broadcasters they're showing an interest because they get paid to show an interest. They're showing an interest because they've got listeners who want to be interested. You're showing a genuine interest. And that's why guests are always so blown away. I think Damien Barr is one example. I think there are quite a few guests that I could certainly hear in their voice that you immediately put them at ease. And the fact that guests will turn up and happily chat for over an hour and often more shows that you're a very good interviewer and you do put people at ease and make them feel relaxed to enjoy themselves. So you get the best out of your guests. I don't think you haven't had one bad interview, Julia. There's not one I'd say. And trust me, I'm honest. I would say, you know, that one was a bit of a bad one. But no,
I think there's some that are better than others. Let's put it that way. But
of course you're going to say that because there'll be some you'll enjoy more. But every interview you do, you show a genuine interest in the guest. Even if it's a genre of reading and books you're not a fan of. Fantasy, sci-fi, all those sorts of things.
I love fantasy. Sci-fi
and all those sorts of writing. You can hear, but you never show a lack of enthusiasm. It's always there. You're always enthusiastic. You've always got great energy. And I'm going to take this time now just to say that you're quite an inspiration to me, Julia, as well, because of your steely determination, your can-do attitude, and your great creativity is always a source of inspiration for me to be a better person. So thank you.
Oh, goodness, this is turning into the Julia Bojo Appreciation Club, and I am here for it. Thank you very much. That's all very kind of you to say. And, you know, it's mutual. I've enjoyed working with you this year. And, I mean, I'm sad that, you know, listeners will know from listening to the Carrie Elks episode that I'm taking a season off now so that I can work on some projects. I've got a romantasy book that I'm working on, and also the last book in the Photographer's Trilogy. So that's sort of what's on my list for this year. And if I can finish those, then there's also a Christmas story that I have in my head that I want to get out. So I just have so much in my head, and I need to really focus on it. And much as I love doing this podcast, it does take my time away, and it's not earning money necessarily. I think it's a good time. And we've been doing it for a year and a half.
Yeah, I know. I still can't believe that. I mean, it does feel like we've known each other for longer. It feels like we've been going a lot longer. And I was surprised it's only like, you know, 18 months, really.
I know, and we've still never met in person either.
We haven't yet, but I want to make sure we do that at Christmas time. So go and get a Christmas drink in.
So what are you doing for Christmas? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a bit of time off. a bit of time for a bit of R&R. A lot of eating, drinking and being merry, spending time with loved ones and family. Yeah, just getting a bit festive. I find I don't like putting too much pressure on myself at Christmas. Christmas will be what it will be. We have our little traditions, but they're not major things. It's just little things that are so important. And I think Christmas, you can make Christmas whatever you want it to be for you and owning your own traditions. It's a fairly quiet one. What about yourself?
Well, I love the fact that we make an effort to do things together at Christmas. So like tonight we're doing the Christmas lights at Kew. And for me, it's not Christmas until we've done that. I mean, we have gone for like a decade to do that every year. And yeah, it just really puts us in the festive mood. And then we've booked to see the Bishop's Wife. I might have said it in one of the episodes or one of the other interviews at the BFI closer to Christmas. And then we have like loads of things booked throughout the week of Christmas, like escape rooms and we have games to play with the family on Christmas. Like it's a deal, like all these little, and puzzles. I love a Christmas puzzle.
Same. Yeah.
You know, so I'm looking forward to just laying my puzzle out on the kitchen counter and just being like, this is my space. No one touches it. And doing my little puzzle. So small pleasures. Well, I think on that note, we should probably let our listeners go and do their Christmassy bits and pieces, probably wrapping presents. I'm hoping a lot of you were wrapping presents while listening to this podcast today, or taking a nice chilly walk, or whatever it is that you were doing. But, you know, I have to say a huge thank you to all the listeners out there for giving your time to me and to this podcast. And I hope that you've enjoyed it. And I'm really looking forward to coming back and chatting some more in the new year from April.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it. And I'd like to say thank you to you and, of course, to Jen and Ed, of course, as well, but particularly to you for, as I say, always being an inspiration, for being so incredibly hardworking and with minimal levels of fuss. That's what I think you're so wonderful at, Julia. You just get the job done and it's just, you know, there's no standing around us to say what we're going to do. It's just get the job done and then we can worry about it afterwards.
Time is money.
Time is money, exactly that.
I don't have time to waste.
It's a good lesson. Well, it's a very happy Christmas from me, from me to you, Julia, and to all your wonderful listeners and to anyone that hears this. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody and to you, Jeremy, and to your family. And listeners, I love you.
Books are the best. They're often better than sex. Our hearts read between the covers. Books are love the book. Lovers, don't mind stories you like. You'll find the words that ignite. Get your latest book fix with the Two Little Chicks.
Hello? Hello? Julia? Anyone? Sorry I'm late. I've got your Bollinger. Got your Bolly. Anyone? No? Guess I'll just have to drink it myself.